Hello, hey, Dr. Emily Starbeck. How are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for coming on the show. I know it's a bit late, but I appreciate you taking the time to come and speak to my audience and myself, of course.
Yeah, no problem.
So, you are the director of the Center on Entrepreneurial Innovation. That's a site for sore eyes right now. I think we need a lot of innovation in our business world. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what you're doing and what the Independent Institute is all about.
Okay. Well, here at the center, we're involved in a lot of different projects. Our newest project at the moment is a new website. It's called mygovcost.org. And essentially what mygovcost.org is it's a government cost calculator. It allows people to come in, enter in just their basic age, income, education, and get kind of a pretty tailored picture as to what their federal tax burden is and what the federal government is costing them personally. And we're really excited about this calculator right now because essentially what it's able to provide users with is an estimate of what the value of their tax dollars would be worth if they could otherwise save them and invest them in the stock market. And so it gives a really clear picture as to what returns, you know, taxpayers are foregoing by handing over their money to all of these increasingly costly federal spending projects.
Mm-hmm. I hope you have a lot of digits on that calendar because it's government spending and government debt is through the roof, highest level as far as I know for my childhood, for my life, actually, most of our lives in terms of percentage in GDP. Tell us more about what you're seeing. Do you see this administration, and let's talk about the previous administration as well, as being somewhat anti-business and more corporatist? Corporatism running crazy, crony capitalism. They give their buddies a fair shake, like BP and others, Goldman Sachs, of course, which I call the government slush fund. How do you feel about this?
Well, I think that the problem is endemic, and it's more than one of partisan politics, actually. So it comes down to the relationship and the nature of government hand-me-outs. When the federal government is in the business of providing privileges and providing you know, rewards to special interest groups, then it's no surprise that we should suspect special interest groups to demand more and more of those goodies. And so while I do believe that the particular situation that we're facing right now is acute and it's been building over the last, you know, 5-10 years, it's something that's systematic in the way in which our federal government has come to operate.
Now, what do you think is the most, how could I put this, the most detrimental policy that a government can make? Is it putting protectionist tariffs on, as we saw the Smoot-Hawley tariffs, and they're talking about some different ways of helping the American products, and obviously by a larger stake, the unions in America? What do you think is the most dangerous policy that could be enacted, or is it enacted and just hasn't blown up yet?
Well, I think that there's you raise a lot of key issues about tariffs and the importance of free trade, and I think that that's incredibly important. But from a more broad perspective, I think government's ability to engage in discriminatory policies is really gets at the heart of this problem of the ability to reward particular interest groups at one point and others at another. And so I think, in general, a restructuring of the rules of the game by which, kind of squaring off an area of private trade, private exchange, private markets, and private civil liberties as well, where government is no longer allowed to enact discriminatory policies, I think, is a more broad view of where I see the problem as it is right now. I think in the short run, in terms of what we're facing currently, all of the policies and all of these issues that were really detrimental to the long-term economic growth of America is really where the most egregious errors are at the policy level.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think that this is something that government can fix, or are you of the kind of Reaganist principle that thinks that government only creates a problem?
Well, take the debt issue that we're facing right now. We have a very, very strong debate going on over whether or not the current administration should continue the Bush tax cuts or not. And we can talk about that a little bit more if you'd like. But, the debate is on whether or not the tax cuts should be renewed. But what's interesting is that very little is being said about the spending side of the equation. And, just the enormous growth that we've seen in federal spending levels over the last 10 years really needs to be addressed in order to, be talking seriously about the looming debt crisis that we face.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk more about the Bush tax cuts, because obviously as they come winding down, there's a lot of misconceptions, there's a lot of controversy around it. John Boehner made some comments, Barack Obama's attacking John Boehner, and that he's using him as kind of a pawn in the game of class warfare, and that's the way I see it. If someone has a different way, I'd be more than welcome to the option of debating them. But the way I see it is that, first off, there's a talk of the tax cuts aren't, they can't afford tax cuts. If it's a true tax cut, the government shouldn't be printing up any paper to give money back to someone. That's not a tax cut, that's a tax break. So just tell us exactly what the Bush tax cuts are, and if they are renewed and made permanent, what's the projected results, and if they aren't renewed, what's the projected result?
Okay, so essentially the Bush tax cuts were just a series of tax cuts that were essentially across the board in a number of ways. They reduced taxes for almost all. They moved some people who were at the 15% bracket into the 10% bracket, and then for the middle class, their federal income tax burden was reduced, and then the current tax top income tax bracket is for individuals who earn over $200,000 a year, and it's currently taxed at 35%. Okay. Now, it's important to remember that this top income tax bracket that I just mentioned at 35% currently also includes sole proprietorships, partnerships, and small businesses. Okay. So typically, a small business or a sole proprietorship with an annual, income of $200,000 is a very, very small business. So we have to keep in mind that small businesses are treated under the tax law under that category. Now, with the proposed tax, with the Bush tax cuts, they're currently taxed at 35%. Now, if they were to expire, that bracket would rise to about 39.6%. And that's just in 2011. Now, once you add the Medicare tax on top of that, it rises to about 44%. And then if you include the new health care law that was passed in March, you would watch that top tax bracket rise to about 44.7% or so. And once you factor in state and local taxes, you're looking at an effective income tax rate of over 50% of that income. And so it is significant.
Yeah, it's very healthy info for a good economy in struggle. I like to talk about solutions, and I don't want to be like a regular pundit or anything like that. I don't want to talk about blame game, politics, all that stuff. What do you feel is the solution to our economic woes right now for sustained growth?
Well, first and foremost, I think, you know, what we've seen coming out of the current administration is a lot of uncertainty. Businesses, I mean, you know, people are wondering why businesses aren't hiring, and one of the clearest reasons across the board is that they're very uncertain as to what, you know, the rules of the game are. They don't know what the administration's going to do, and it's been rather unpredictable over the last 4 years. You know, that uncertainty was not made any better by the stimulus, because from most accounts, the stimulus has failed, and it's failed to jumpstart the economy in the way they thought. And so I think in terms of solutions, you know, a more transparent tax system would be a clear-cut, long-term solution that the current administration could adopt. And, you know, commitments towards economic growth. I mean, the people who are advocating for not renewing the tax cuts don't deny the economic growth numbers. And I think that that's an extremely important point, because they recognize that lower taxes, if you're talking about for the rich, if you're talking about the middle class, if you're talking about for the poor, lower taxes encourage economic growth. They encourage more exchange to take place than otherwise would under high taxes. And so, you know, there may be partisan rhetoric, or they're, you know, appealing to special interest groups by talking about, you know, the rich and the poor, but the fact remains is that when you have more money in the hands of private individuals, more money is going to sustained investment and growth over time. And so I think in terms of solutions, if we want to talk real solutions, we need to talk about clear and credible commitments to, you know, addressing those issues, and at the same time addressing things like, you know, the annual budget deficits, and that has to come from a spending side as well.
Now, do you see this government and the last few years of the Bush administration as being anti-business, or anti-small business, rather?
I don't know if it's particularly anti-small business. I think that it's been particularly anti-economic growth for, and you know, many businesses. But I don't know if it's particular, because I think it's been very wishy-washy. Like I said, it's created a climate of uncertainty. You know, a year and a half ago with the Cash for Clunkers program and some of these more targeted stimulus measures, but the administration, at least in rhetoric, was paying homage to small businesses. But in turn, now with these you know, proposed tax increases, it, you know, it's turning right around. So I don't think there's a clear, you know, pro small business, anti small business. I think that there's clear policies that have been adopted that are anti economic growth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well put and very conservatively worded, of course, obviously. Tell us more about what the Independent Institute is working on outside of this new project that you're...
Well, we're involved in a number of different things. The Independent Institute is a nonprofit research center. We're out in the Bay Area on the West Coast, and we have a network of scholars throughout... you know, really worldwide, but throughout the United States, and they're working on all types of research projects. Here at the Center on Entrepreneurial Innovation, we're particularly interested in some of the local issues in California with California's budget crisis, and then we're working with affiliated scholars on issues of entrepreneurship and growth over time, and these include book projects, both concerning domestic issues and also, you know, economic development and growth more broadly.
And, what websites can people check out? MyGovCost.com is one of them. What else can they check out to learn more about what you guys are doing?
Yeah, so the new calculator that we've launched is actually at MyGovCost.org, because it is... an independent project, And I really want to encourage users to go and go in there and just play around with it, because it's very illuminating to see what it is that the federal government is spending on the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, the economic stimulus, agriculture programs and subsidies, education, Medicare, Social Security. All of these programs are broken down at a very individual level, and so it's a unique tool for people to kind of get an idea and really, you know, be able to feel more more accurately the burden of federal taxation. So I really do encourage all of your listeners to go out and take a look at the website. Now, in addition to that, the Independent Institute also has a website. It's just at www.independent.org. And here we have everything from the latest research from our affiliated scholars to an ongoing blog discussion. We have policy papers and policy reports, as well as commentary and news on a broad range of political and social issues.
Yeah, no, what I like, and I'm on the site actually now, and I've been on it before. What I like about it is what you said before. It gets into very specifics. It's a nonpartisan thing, so you're not siding with Bush with the Iraq and Afghanistan war. You're not siding with Obama and increasing troops or doing this and that. You're talking about stimulus. You're talking about this area of spending. It doesn't matter what it is, but you break it down very well. And I think this is an idea whose time has truly come. I can see, and anybody can see, going to the website, there's plenty of content. You guys put a lot of time into this, and you're still doing it. So I encourage people, just go check it out. It doesn't hurt you to do it. It's mygovcost.org. Check it out, see what it is, see how it stacks up. And just as an aside, when they used to have, on the ESPN, they used to have calculators, let's say Alex Rodriguez, how much money he was getting, and how it breaks down. So if he was getting $30 million and he has 30 home runs, he's getting $1 million a home run. So it breaks down different things like that, and it's just, it really makes you see things differently and how ludicrous it is when there's other guys that are hitting 40 home runs and then getting paid $10 million a year. You know, just the way money is being spent and how it's being spent, that's just so absurd. And Emily, I thank you once again for coming on the show and talking about this. I think it's a very serious topic, and I think it's one that needs to be talked about in a nonpartisan way, and I think you guys are doing a great job of bringing that out.
Alex, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.